God, evening, listeners. My name is Chester, and welcome to In My Shoes, the only inspirational podcast there is. Today, I sit with the 22-year-old Marion Hamilton, and he's here today to tell us about his passion for cars. Marion, how you doing? And tell us, how did this passion start with you?
Oh well, when I was born, when I was brought into this world by
human back.
Yeah. My dad was my real inspiration for getting into cars. He was always around them. So, and he had a few himself. And I, from being around them, was how I got into them. Eventually, as a baby, having a driving on his lap.
I think everyone was doing that.
Yeah, at a point in time, yeah. Eventually from there, he passed away, and I was doing business subjects in school.
Yes.
And I decided to change from doing business subjects to do like sciences and stuff like that, so I could have a more mechanical background.
Okay.
And through making that change is where I got and felt more, a little more connected to my father. And thus branch out into doing, getting my own car and doing my own stuff.
Okay, we'll get into all of that. This episode is happening face to face once again, like season one. So these Zoom calls kinda stop for now. Tell us, like, what were your inspirations? Because you said you started doing business and then you dropped the business to do mechanical engineering. Why do you make such a bold move?
Well, at the point in time, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I was stuck, basically. And my mom, being as supportive as ever, you know, said, you know, try and figure out what it is you really, really want to do. And after thinking about it and meditating a little bit, I decided, you know, just to rearrange my course to see what it would bring, you know. I didn't really know if it would be good, if it would be easy or what, but I just, you know, mom said, do what you feel you could do. And I tried it and went ahead without knowing what would happen.
Okay, so you took a leap of faith.
Yeah.
Good. Tell us a line. How old were you when this happened?
I just finished school, so probably about 16, yeah. And now I finished secondary school.
About 17, somewhere,
yeah.
What school was this?
I just finished going to St. George's College in Barataria.
Okay. And did you ever think you'd be in this position, as in not doing business but following your dreams and love for cars?
At the point in time, no, because at the point in time in school, I was just doing what was easy, so yes. I would just get passes, to be honest. In school, I had no real idea what I really wanted to do, and, you know, they made you choose, so I just choose what was easy, so I would pass. I didn't really choose something that, you know, I wanted to do.
Okay, Mr. Hamilton. My next question is, what about languages? Then you have any language subjects on your timetable?
Well, yes, St. George's College offered Spanish and French at the point in time of me going.
I think all schools offer that, but go on.
Yeah. Also, well, I don't know if it changed now, but I know back then, you know, Spanish and French. And obviously the English.
And yes.
I just wasn't interested in learning a new language. I had a mental block in terms of the languages.
Yes.
I picked up Spanish a lot easier than French. But other than that, I have no real passion to run it up.
And my research showed me you built a car. How was that experience for you?
Stressful to say the least. Frustrating. But, I mean, all things in life have a certain degree of frustration and stress involved in it. It has been enjoyable. I had a lot of people, you know, I really got to see who really and truly was my friends. Because
yeah.
A lot of people who said they would help, never helped. And a lot of people who said they would help, did show up and help. A lot of people offered their services for free. And a lot of people charged me. But all of that is in it. And through that, I got a lot more connected to people. And made a lot more friends. And strengthened the bonds between existing friends. And so the car has really brought a new perspective as well as experiences with them. And I know a lot more now because I have taken on the project of building a car from scratch than I did when I was just fixing a part when the part go bad, carrying the car by a mechanic, etc., etc.
Okay, well. We're out of time for this segment, but when we come back, why don't you take us through your journey of Bell then Naka.
Yeah, that would be something cool.
Okay, so this is in my shoes. We'll be right back.
Do you need a bit of inspiration? Well, you've come to the right place. In My Shoes is a place where we discuss the goals, accomplishments, and struggles faced by ordinary people like you.
Welcome back to In My Shoes. Me sat here with Mr. Hamilton, a young mechanic. Sorry, I don't know about cars. So yeah, tell walk us through your experience building a car from scratch.
Alright, so first things first, I was working like really hard for some years to build up, you know, some sort of savings to buy the car. And doing research, realized that the car that I wanted was way too expensive to just buy outright. So some co-workers helped me source, you know, a shell, which is basically the skin of a car. You know, there's the chassis alone without seats and without an engine, without transmission, suspension, those kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so the body.
Yeah, the body of the car.
Yeah.
And we, well, after a while of searching, a co-worker found one for me, and they got one for a really good deal. You know, it was affordable. So we went and we looked at the car. The car was, you know, located in South, deep South.
Yeah, like car. Bamboo?
Nah, further than bamboo. Bamboo is more central.
Yeah.
We're talking about between San Fernando, Pinal, somewhere closer to Pinal area. That is Davis side.
Yeah.
All the way at the end of the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we went and we viewed the car, and I went with a mechanic as well. And we, you know, watching it, and they said, you know, the car has some issues, but it has potential. And so, based on them saying it has potential, I said, all right, no problem. And I went ahead and bought the car. Then, after buying the car, it was to get the car wrecked home. Right, that was a wreck, the wrecker charged about $800, but that was a friend deal, you know? Usually those wreckers for that distance would charge like a lot more than that, and it would be justifiable because of the distance.
Yes.
Getting the car home, same co-worker who had my source car, he came.
What?
He and I scrapped down the car, took off all of the body parts, cleaned them, and then from there we could start to put it back together. Right? We had to source an engine, we had to source a gearbox. those sort of stuff now.
Modern sound gearbox. That's a pendulum.
So what the gearbox is, what the engine is what powers the car, what moves the car.
Yes.
What gives it the power to move forward and back.
Right? Yes, yes, yes.
The gearbox transmits the power from the engine to the wheels. Like, okay, so the engine, like you say a bicycle, right?
Yeah.
Right, the engine would be you on the bicycle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
And the gearbox would be the pedals that is that is chain driven and that transmit the power to the wheels.
Okay.
Right? So like that, we had the saucer engine and my co-worker, the same one, you know, I'll say his name, Adam.
Yes.
He gave me his old engine.
And then back up yourself.
So Anem gave me his old engine. So that was, you know, we already had a power plant, a source of power, right?
Yes.
To find the gearbox though, we was a little bit of problems because we looked at different sources and it wasn't coming up anywhere. So we found multiple people. Some of them wanted to change like prices on us. So I'll call them. China, yeah. I'll call them today. They'll say 3,000. Then call them back the next day, and they'll say 3,500. Yeah. So.
Mom, the fiends know something.
I don't know what they wanted, but. You know, I just trying to eventually, Anam said, you know, don't bother with them. Something will pop up. And something did pop up. Again, another friend who saw, you know, who saw the car and was interested in helping me out and stuff.
Yes.
He sent me a picture with a contact and everything and a list of parts that the person had. And that person, and when I contacted the person, the person gave me way more than I could want.
How much did he charge?
Alright, so for the gearbox, the internals, everything, plus a drive shaft.
What is that?
Okay, the drive shaft is like the chain on the bike. From the pedals to the wheel, that is what the drive shaft is.
I don't understand.
Alright, so you know on the bicycle, right? The pedals, when you ride on your bike, the pedals?
Yes.
Right. The chain that is beyond the gear, that is go to the back wheel.
Yeah.
Right, that chain? Mm. Alright, that is like what the drive shaft is. The drive shaft is a rod. A shaft, basically, that does the same thing.
Okay.
Alright?
Yes.
So, all of that came up to being about 52 or 5300. And the guy said, well, I am not a busted kind of guy, so I'll give you it for 5. And I took it and I was very happy.
500 or 5,000?
5,000.
Wow, that's a steal of a deal.
Yeah, for the amount of components that, you know, I got, it was a steal. So, after that, you know, we had to assemble it, and a good friend of mine who I went UTC with, right, who actually was doing mechanical engineering with me.
Yes.
Right, he came, and we took a whole week, and we put everything together.
Mr. Newman, you teach me much compass that you got your certificate from.
Oh, well, I haven't received the certificate yet.
Yeah.
But it would be most likely at John D. Campus, which is in Port of Spain.
Oh, yes, okay.
I don't know where I would collect it, but that's where I attended and finished the course I was doing.
Oh, and tell us. You said you had to research for a number of years before building your vehicle. So share with me, audience, that number. How many years was your research conducted?
Well, the plan was in conception since I started UTT, which would have been 3 years ago, but in terms of actually doing the research, getting like prices, availability of parts, you know, just learning about the demographic of the car, I would say 1 year ago.
What's the demographic of a car?
Well, basically the characteristics involved with it. So say like the kind of people who like to own the car, where the car usually, or the locations usually have the car available.
Yeah.
Locations, the prices they normally go for, those kinds of things.
Okay, and what type of vehicle that you build?
Okay, so we settled on, I was looking into Laurels.
Yes.
And we was looking for the cheapest option, which was the C32. But the C32 Laurel is a really old Laurel, probably in the 80s, 1980s, the car was from. And the car was getting a little too old and rusty. You know, a lot of them weren't up to par. It was hard and difficult to source a strong chassis C32. So we went with the C33 Laurel instead, which had a lot more available cars and also a lot more available parts as well.
Okay. We cutting right here, cause we're 2 minutes over time, but when we come back, we'll talk some more. This is In My Shoes. Stay with us.
This podcast is brought to you by the amazing people at Anchor. Anchor is a free app where you can not only listen to your favorite podcasters, but you can become one yourself. Anchor will also distribute your podcast amongst other platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. Download the Anchor app today.
And welcome back when you're on In My Shoes. This is season 3. I think I didn't acknowledge that in the beginning, but we sit here with Mr. Hamilton and we talking while we learning about cars. So, Mr. Hamilton, my research says you've done something with a car race. Tell us about that.
Alright, so in the year 2019, I started car racing for the first time. The name of the sport is autocross.
Yeah.
And all it is basically is they give you a layout based on cone, and you have to run the course as fast as you can in as short a period as time. And based on that time that you place, you would place first, second, or third in your category.
Okay, and when was your time in this race?
Well, it is seasons, so
yes.
In the year, it would probably have like about around six or seven events, and in about 2 or 3 of those events, I think, I came first or second. So I can't really remember the times that I placed, but I know in 1 or 2 of those, I did, you know, enough to come first.
Okay, congrats. How did you feel going through these courses, as you put it?
Well, it was a challenge because you never have, it's never something that you could learn or remember, because
yes,
it's ever changing. Every event is a different course, right?
Yes.
So you could never put it to memory and get it right the first time. So they give you about 6 chances, and you have to decide how much chances you're going to take learning the course, and how much chances you're going to take actually pushing the limit and going as fast as possible. And I felt, you know, a little bit weighed down with the amount of things that you have to do, amount of things that you have to overcome. But in the end, I got accustomed to the ever-changing style.
Yes.
And it actually helped with my memory as well, in terms of now I have a little bit better short-term memory. A little bit, just a little bit. Nothing too major.
Yes. Better short-term memory. And tell us how would you prepare for these courses?
Okay, so the day before, it's always good to have, you know, a full night's rest. You know, you go to sleep early, yeah, you eat early on time, you wake up and you have your breakfast. You know, that's how you prepare that morning. In terms of preparing the car, some people would put on tires, you know, better tires, because they can't afford to race on, you know, good wheels, because they would damage. So they get, you know, spare sets,
yes,
that they don't mind damaging, and they put it on the car. And then at the morning of competition, they have you walk the course. They give you a flyer with the layout, an overhead layout of the course.
Yeah.
And you just walk the course and try to memorize the course as best as possible before you drive it.
What we're going to do now is we're going to play a little game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would give you the names of 2 cars.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to tell me what is the, which car is better and why.
Okay, no problem.
that game only for you. I can't play it because I don't know cars. And that's the first time we playing a game on the show. So you're making history. So we took cars a Nissan and a Toyota.
Alright, so well, there's a lot of Nissans and there's a lot of Toyotas. The usual stigma, the usual thing that everyone agrees with is that Toyota is a stronger car and the parts last longer, but yes, it's also a way more expensive car and the parts are way more expensive as well. Whereas the Nissan is a little bit more affordable, right? And the parts go out easier. However, the parts are more accessible and they are all over the place. They like to call the Nissan the parlor car because they can go in a parlor and buy the parts, right? In terms of better or worse, it's really up to you to decide. I like all, to be honest with you. Well, most of the Toyotas and most of the Nissans. And if I had a choice, I would probably go with the Nissan because they are a little bit more affordable and fit my budget.
Okay, so let's stick with Nissan. But watch Toyota from Mercedes.
Alright, so Mercedes is like the upper echelon of cars. It's a German car, right? It is really like up there in terms of engineering and how well put together the car is. But to achieve that, to gain that, you'll have to put, you know, a lot of work in. You know, you have to, you know, have a good job as well, to have maintenance money as well. I say if you have the resources to get a Mercedes and you like the way Mercedes looks, go for it, 100%.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Hamilton, for taking this time to be on to come on the podcast tonight.
Yeah.
Any last words you'd like to leave our audience with tonight?
Well, I'd like to say that I appreciate the offer to be on the show. I didn't really consider myself, you know, podcast worthy to say I could be on a podcast, but I appreciate the offer.
Well, you know, that's what my show is all about. It's giving the small persons a voice, cause not every day people would want to hear from the big names. People need to hear real stories from real people sometimes. So thank you for being here. And as always, keep smiling, keep your shoes on, keep walking. Good night.